Thank you. Welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for Monday, November 15th, 2010. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. Oh, that's right. We'd like to excuse Councilmember Scott Summers, who's out of town, and he will not be joining us by phone. And also, I'm sorry, would like to welcome for his first semi-official Councilmember-elect Chris Glover, who we've invited to join us here up on the up on this. What do we call this anyway?
The thing.
The thing. Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Higgins. It's a technical term. So welcome, and we look forward to his participation in our study sessions from now through the time he officially takes office, which is third week of January, sometime in January. Okay. Good. All right. Tonight's council meeting agenda. Items 1 through 4A. Items 4B through 4E. 4F through 4H. Items 5A through 5H.
I have a question.
Vice Mayor.
On 5G, where we're designating Assistant Fire Chief Bloomer as the applicant agent for our application for disaster relief funds in the event we need them, who do we have backup? I mean, designating an applicant agent is important because that's a requirement, but do we have a succession in that application besides just one individual?
Any one of you who are sitting that can answer.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, before this designation, I believe Brian Raines was our the designated individual. I don't know that we've, from the grant and authorization to the DHS, they require anybody more than that. Obviously, we have other individuals that we would place in that position. But
it's just a curiosity. If that individual is not available, what's the succession?
Right. And ultimately, you know, the finance department is very much involved in the training about what qualifies for emergency funding and what's eligible and the documentation that have to take place to go through that. So at this point, with Brian's departure and having Mr. Bloomberg's having the training, that's who we decided would be best at this point. But we're all kind of going through a reshuffling and kind of reorganization of the whole emergency management organization and system, how that's going to get laid out. And so I think once we've sat down with police and fire and the city manager's office, we'll be able to have a comprehensive approach to that. And like you said, we probably ought to have some, who's the backup, who's the successor to anybody who's already a designated individual. But for the purpose here to council, this is just to meet the requirement of a specific grant.
State the requirement for the grant. I just found it odd that they're just asking for one name.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Anything else?
Mayor?
Excuse me.
Agenda item 5H, deleted from the agenda this evening.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Item 5H is deleted because, as we all know, the Maricopa County did not actually finish their count until Saturday, I guess.
Correct. And
so we don't have the results yet.
That's right.
Okay. So that'll be rescheduled on an agenda when we actually do have those final results. Do we have a time frame in which we must do that, or is that just when we get them?
Their 20-day time limit is up on Friday, and we're anticipating the results Wednesday afternoon, so we could put them on a special for Thursday.
For Thursday. And we have a special meeting. We'll have to have a special meeting.
Yeah, we'd have to post one for that day.
I know, but can we do it as part of the study session, or do we have to actually have a special
meeting? Well, we have to have a special council meeting, but we can just do it that same
okay,
morning.
That's fine. All right. Okay, item 6A through 8B. Councilmember Richens.
I have a question on 6A again.
6A?
6A. The pawn shop council use permit. Who is that? Who gets that? You?
Wesley.
Who is Red Mountain Asset Fund? Is that the owner of the shopping center, or is that the owner of the pawn shop? Because I feel really uncomfortable transferring the license to the owner of the shopping center. We wanted these licenses to be tied to the operators. So, and make sure we include the same conditions to transfer the pawn shop. Because Red Mountain Asset Fund, one, sounds like a shopping center owner, and I couldn't drill down to it. So do you have
Ms. Demmett here? She's not.
I don't.
But we have somebody coming up here.
Mayor, Councilman Richens, he's coming up.
Cash America, I believe, is the operator and one we're conditioning the account's use permit to. And I believe you're right that the Red Mountain Assets probably is the actual property owner.
So who is it going to, the owner or the applicant? Who where does this new permit reside?
With Cash America.
To answer your question, Red Mountain is the owner of the center. We do need to get their permission to apply for the conditional use permit because we're a tenant in the center, but the use permit is going to transfer to Cash America, the operator of the facility.
And then we've included the same restrictions that if they move, it transfers. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Can we pull that off consent?
Your call.
Let's pull that off consent.
Okay. Item 6A is off consent. Anything else, 6A through 8B? And items 8C through 9B. If you'll notice, items 9A and 9B are off consent. Mr. Brady?
Yes, Mayor and Council. And so placed on the agenda today for Council is really kind of a two-part step. Which would include, if the council so desires, to reconsider the contract award for towing services that was done back in July. That would require, and I think the city attorney's provided that those individuals who were on the prevailing motion.
It's the mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh, Councilmember Summers, or Councilmember Richens.
We'd have to make the motion for reconsideration under 9A. I don't think we concern ourselves about the second, but it's the motion. If that item is then considered and is approved, then the second item would be to reject all the proposals that were received back in, actually back in March of 2010. If that is completed and the council moves in that direction, then what the staff would recommend is that we would come back at a future time, a future study session, and bring to council a couple of different options that you may want to pursue as alternatives to the awarding of the current proposals, which could include a new RFP process, an RFQ process, which may result in a rotational selection of towing services or providing for a rotational towing services. It also may include, and we've had Councilman Summers ask us to look at possibly city involvement or participation or involvement in the towing services. That would actually have to be maybe a little bit further considered further out into the future, but he's asked us to look at that. An action of no action or failure of these items to move forward then obviously would result in continuing with the contract awards that were recommended back in July.
And if you could, we got heavy into acronyms there.
Which one did I use?
RFPs and RFQs.
Oh, sorry, the request for qualifications.
Which is the RFQ.
Would be a request for qualifications to determine if we're to move to, if one of the options were to move to a list of approved towing vendors for the city, we would require they go through a request for qualifications to establish the minimum standards that would have to be met in order to be on that list and to remain. Stay on the list.
And the city would define what those are.
We would define those are. We'd come to council in a future study session to go over those in more detail. But what we would propose to do is if council were to move forward with this action today, we'd come back into a future study session with those alternatives with a little more detail about each one. And then the council could give us direction or you could give us direction tonight if any one of those preferences you'd like us to return to.
Well, you know, I know I have no idea how this is going to turn out as it votes, but let's, I guess, give the two scenarios. If this fails, let's say that either one of these fails, then where are we right now?
Mayor, if the motion to reconsider fails, then that would be, we're going to go forward with the award that was made by the council in July. We will complete the contracts with Apache Sands and All City Towing. And move forward in that direction.
Okay, and if those two, if 9A and 9B are both ratified or approved tonight, then we move into the area that Mr. Brady was talking about, that the award is basically reversed, the winning bids are rejected, or all bids are rejected, and then we go on to the, with staff giving us other alternatives.
Right. We would then have a clean slate, and right. the RFP from March would no longer be effective.
Okay. I don't want to jump ahead, but let's assume that we take that route. Would there be any, if it comes back to both 90 and 9B are approved, is there any objection to having a staff move forward with coming up with the recommendations or the next step that Mr. Brady talked about? Okay, I don't see any.
Okay.
So is that your direction?
That'll work. Right. Thank you.
That way we won't have to come back and
ask for direction.
Ask for direction again.
That's a good idea.
We're being efficient here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any questions on that issue? Okay. So we will not resolve the issue. Well, we could resolve the issue if this does not 9A or 9B do not pass tonight. If they do pass, then the issue is not formally resolved. We'll wait for staff to come back with recommendations or alternatives in a future meeting, and we'll continue on, I guess, on a month-to-month basis like we are right
Correct.
Now
Correct.
With the current services.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Great. Next item on our agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, provide direction on consumers' use of fireworks within the city of Mesa. Our favorite subject.
Mayor, I think I'm going to answer a question that was raised last meeting when we discussed this. The council had the question, what, if any, authority or jurisdiction does the council have to restrict the sale of fireworks given the new House bill that was passed? And this bill will become effective December 1st. And looking at the language, I'll just read it. Our conclusion is that the City Council cannot restrict the sale based on the language in the statute. The statute says the sale and use of permissible consumer fireworks are of statewide concern. The regulation of permissible consumer fireworks pursuant to this article and their use is not subject to further regulation by a governing body, except that an incorporated city or town may regulate the use of permissible consumer fireworks within its corporate limits. Therefore, the statute says you cannot regulate use or sale at all, except they expressly carved out the council's authority to restrict use within its corporate limits. So with regard to the use, the council has wide discretion to set limitations. That can include restrictions as to the time of day fireworks can be used, the time of the year, or even a complete prohibition of the use within the city of Mesa. But the state law does not allow the city to adopt additional restrictions on the sale of the fireworks.
Okay, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As a follow-up to the last discussion that we had, if you recall, there were representatives at that meeting from the fireworks industry, and we held a meeting with the city staff, including the city manager's office, city attorney's office, both Mesa Police Department and Mesa Fire Department were all in the discussion with industry to talk about where we could go from here based on the conversation and discussion we heard from council, and also putting into context what we've just heard from the city attorney. And I think we've reached, at least we have a proposed agreement that we've provided to you all that we would recommend to move forward to the council. And it speaks to a variety of things where the industry is willing to agree to restrict their sales during the period of time close to the two different holidays. And then they also are going to assist and agree to provide some additional signage and other items that would help us to clarify the responsibilities and the limitations of those who could who would be sold the age in which you can be sold the fireworks. So let me just kind of review some of the highlights that I know we kind of discussed previously. One, they're agreeing that temporary tent sales will only occur 2 weeks prior to the holidays of July 4th and New Year's Day. They've limited the maximum tent size to be 1,500 square feet. They've agreed to provide display signage indicating the use of permissible consumer fireworks is only permitted from December 26th through January 1st or June 28th to June 4th. It also has indicated that they would fireworks may not be sold to persons under the age of 16, and signs would be required to be posted at each register and each area the fireworks are displayed. They have also agreed to provide for insurance requirements
for those the temporary tent cells. They've also agreed that temporary tent cells will only occur in the C1, C2, and C3 zoned areas, and they're willing to eliminate the C1 zoned areas after January 1st. The challenge there was that prior to us having that meeting with the industry last week or so, there may have been individuals who had already contracted out for space within the C1. So that kind of had already taken place before we could get to this agreement. What they're willing to do is then, after January 1st, 2011, is they would seek to limit temporary tent cells out of the C1 zoned areas. They're agreeing that permitting cost for permitting for these stands would not be greater than $250. That's pretty typical, I think, of what other cities are charging. They've agreed that indoor retail sales of permissible consumer fireworks, again, which are not we cannot restrict by ordinance, but they are going to be allowed in C2 and C3 zoned areas 1 month prior to the holidays of July 4th and New Year's Day. So at least those sales, they would agree to voluntarily restrict those sales during those times. And then, of course, as they've stated, and I think this is included in state laws, it was discussed by the city attorney, that all the retail sales and storage must comply with regulations set forth in, I think it's the National Fire Prevention Act? Am I saying it? Association. Sorry. Thank you, Chief. So this is kind of the agreement that we were able to come up with. As part of the compromise, Mesa would adopt an ordinance allowing the use of permissible, I guess it's the safe and sound fireworks leading up to the holidays of July 4th and New Year's Day. Now, I know there's some other communities that have narrowed that down a little bit, especially around the New Year's Eve or New Year's Day period, so we may want to consider that. That was a discussion. That was an agreement, obviously only between the city staff and the industry, and the letter that they sent back to us. And this was fairly significant because they agreed that they wouldn't be selling, they would take away the sales of fireworks year-round and limit it to these periods of time. So that's what we have before us.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Kavanaugh.
I have a question. Then what you're proposing is a combination of an ordinance and an MOU?
Yeah, and I'll have the city attorney how much we can actually fulfill through ordinance, in which they will, and other parts, they will actually just have to. And I think they propose entering into an MOU because the state law already is established that it gives them the opportunity to sell at any time or place, but they would agree, at least for this period of time, to restrict during the times or the places and the times when I told you. Then they would seek, they've indicated they would then seek legislation in the future to restrict what they already have in place today.
And then, Mayor, I have a follow-up question with the city attorney. If, in fact, the council direction is to move into a contractual arrangement to permit the use as noted, wouldn't we be exposing the city to further liability for personal injury or property damage occurring in the permitted areas and uses that the council might agree with?
Let me restate the question to make sure I'm understanding it, Councilmember Kavanaugh. If the council allows use of consumer fireworks at certain times and there is an incident which creates a fire or creates some property damage, is your question, will there be liability for the city?
Wouldn't there be a liability potential for the city for both property damage as well as personal injury damage?
I think it might depend where does the incident occur, because if it's on public property, obviously whatever the incident is, what they will look at is, was negligence the cause of it and by whom? If it's on private property and it's negligence of the individual using the firework and maybe the property owner by not properly supervising, I think the only liability exposure that would be created for the city would be if we responded and somehow our first responders acted negligently. But assuming they were not negligent in their response, I do not think there would be any liability for the city of Mesa in that incident. If the incident occurs on public property, so the city allows public or firework use on public property, again, it's going to be what steps did the city of Mesa take, and were our steps reasonable? So they would still have to prove some type of negligence.
Wouldn't you also face an issue, though, if the city, for example, has had a 50 to 60 year history of banning the use of fireworks within the community, the council having found that to be in the furtherance of public health, safety, and welfare, and is moving on a contractual basis to open up the use of fireworks in the community? Don't you think that creates an issue that certainly could be argued that in terms of the council action entering into a contractual arrangement to expand or permit the use of fireworks, that provides some type of exposure to the city for that action itself?
Yeah, well, I think the use is only going to be through the ordinance, because council will define what is the use through the ordinance, not through the MOU. The MOU will discuss the sale, restrictions on the sale. I'm not aware of any liability exposure that would be created by council changing its policy decision, especially in light of a state law that was passed that is definitely declaring it is the state's intent that fireworks can be sold. I think it's logical to assume then they will be used somewhere in the state of Arizona. So I think changing the policy in and of itself is not going to create liability exposure.
Thank you. I mean, couldn't you argue that by entering the MOU, we've actually reduced the potential damage, because under state law, there are no restrictions at all on sale, if you wanted to argue that? Okay, Councilmember Higgins.
Is there a reason why when we
phone on?
It is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a reason when we looked at these dates that we didn't include Cinco de Mayo and Chinese New Year's? Only due to
these were the dates that we were talking about with the council in the last conversation. So I think we fell on these two dates. That seems to be consistent with what other cities are allowing uses. That's where they've identified. So again, I guess that's up to the council, a policy council can make. But those were the dates that seem to be common across the valley.
I mean, if we're going to look at dates, I would like to expand them to two other major citizen population of Mesa, to include everybody in their major celebrations. And we could add more if there are some I'm not thinking of. Because what I don't want to see is those are major celebrations and then have people use them and then they be illegal for them when they're using them in the spirit that it was designed for, you know, a community celebration. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Did you consider, and I'm just looking at how... And I think Gilbert just passed or gave some direction. I don't know if they actually passed anything. And what came up in our last meeting was the equivalent of like a stupid motorist law, where we created within the ordinance, if a certain occurrence happens through even the use of it, that's something we can cite and go back and recover our costs. Is that something that we've considered?
Yes.
I know it came up.
Yes, Mayor. There's actually, we've looked at all what the other cities have considered, what's been adopted. There's really four main provisions in the ordinances. One is restrictions on use, if any, that council wants to impose. Second is restrictions on sale, and all the other cities are saying is pursuant to state law. They have to comply with state law.
So there are basically virtually no restrictions.
Yeah, no other city is adopting additional restrictions beyond state law. The third provision is dealing with the signage. What type of signage do we want out there saying you can't sell to someone under 16, only permitted during these times? And the fourth issue, Mayor, is what you addressed, is the ability of the cities to recover for the cost of emergency response. And every city except Cave Creek has a provision providing for the city's ability to recover.
So would that be included in your proposal to us?
If that's council's direction, yes.
I think we heard that. That's an option, yeah.
Okay. I guess we're to assume that if someone, even if they're using something legally, creates, in this one we know it's a hazardous, by nature it burns and it burns hot. I think the discussion we had last time that there should be some obligation if they create a problem that starts a fire, does something else, to at least come back to the city. I mean, there's tort law that if they burn their neighbor's house or they create damage, then they can pursue those damages through the courts, but I think we were talking about the city, that the assumption that we could at least pursue citations to cover costs. Councilmember Higgins.
Yeah, I hate to totally disagree. I don't think we came to any agreement on that the other day.
No, we did. I said we talked about it. I'm bringing it up as a...
And I look at that in a whole different light. I mean, we don't... Yes, this is something new we're bringing into the city, but we don't charge people extra when there's an accident in their backyard. If someone has a incident in their swimming pool, we call 911, an ambulance comes out, and we cart you off to the hospital, and everything's okay. And we might have to have done stuff currently there, right? So, I mean, we take care of issues in people's backyards already, you know, like, and I use the thing as a swimming pool as an example of something that is, has danger in it, just like a sparkler would. You have to watch your kids around water, right? You have a pool fence, and you still watch your kids in the backyard. It's the same thing. If something has some possibility of hurting yourself, I mean, you watch your kids when they're on their skateboard when they're new and on bikes and everything. So this is the same kind of thing. It's something that, you know, you don't let your two-year-old along in the bathtub playing with or somewhere in the house random. It's the same kind of thing. There's responsibility, there's social responsibility, there's parental responsibility. If we're going to buy fireworks, the kids don't play with them by themselves. And if something happens, it's an accident that got out of control, and for me to call 911 and then the city of Mesa Fire comes, puts it out, everything is okay, but then I get charged for it, doesn't even seem right. So, I mean, this is one of those things you definitely want someone calling the ambulance as soon as something, or 911, as soon as something happens. Otherwise, it gets out of control and it takes down half a block. So, with the thought, and I know you guys laughed when I said this last time, but if there's a small something that is catching on fire and we grab the hose, start putting it out, fire doubles every 4 minutes, so Chief Beck has said. So wouldn't I want to call 911 immediately and not worry that, oh my gosh, it might cost me $15,000? Now, it might cost my homeowner's insurance to charge me back, but not the city of Mesa. So I think that's a real bad precedent to start where we're going to charge for something negligent, because car accidents are negligent. We go to the scene of a crime, a car accident where it's my fault turned into one. We don't charge that person. So to me, this is the same kind of thing. There's so many things we do in the city that could be you're negligent, but we don't charge somebody to come to their rescue with a 911 call.
But we do if they drive into a wash.
With a motorist law.
So what's the difference between, and I think the reason we do it is because that's a known extra hazard. And I think that's the idea, is if you knowingly put yourself in additional danger, then the idea is that you've been reckless, at least for the minimum level of service. But for your actions of driving into that wash, you wouldn't have to call. And I think that's...
But we're saying that they're safe. Otherwise, the state legislator wouldn't
let... properly.
Yes, correct.
So if someone starts a fire, I think we're assuming that they weren't used properly.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch.
Councilmember Kavanaugh, I think, has a question.
Thank you. Just more of a comment. I was not at the last study session, so wasn't able to weigh in on the discussion. But just very simply, I concur with the concerns that Councilmembers Richens and Summers raised about the proposal. I am full support of the fire department's recommendations to continue the current restrictions. And so I think going the MOU route, I think you will find that there will be unintended consequences of taking that route. I think the reality of the consequences of permitting the use is that we are going to have increased risk of personal injury and property damage in the community. So I support the fire department on this. I think I'm in not in the majority on this.
Okay, what you're looking for is direction. What's the direction that we want to give staff on this? They've given a proposal, which the proposal would be, if I could summarize it very quickly, recognizing state law that we virtually have no authority to regulate sales in any way, shape, or form. That, if I understand, you've talked to the industry. The industry would be the ones that actually supply. Is that who, when we say the industry, aren't we talking about those who basically supply, manufacture, and supply?
Yeah, yes. When we met,
that's the control over.
When we met with the representatives, they indicated to us that they represented 90% of
right,
the industry.
The market.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would enter. We met with them to figure out what we could do to perhaps create a situation that a compromise, I guess. And if I understand you correctly, Mr. Brady, what you're saying is that the industry agreed to voluntarily restrict their sales, and that's what the MOU would cover. And because state law doesn't allow us to restrict those, that would be the sales would be restricted through through the memorandum of understanding. We agreed, if we get that restriction or that agreement, that voluntary restriction on sales, to allow use as allowed under state law for the sale under certain circumstances, and we would do that by ordinance.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay. And as part of that, you mentioned some specifics as it related to those, and I don't think we need to repeat those. But as a general basis, I think that's the agreement we're talking about. That's the situation that we're talking about right here. Okay? And Councilmember Kavanaugh has talked about it. We know where Councilmember Summers stands on this as far as continuing the ban. I don't know what you would... So you would allow the unrestricted sale, I guess, would be the other option, because I don't think the industry is going to restrict sale when there's a total restriction on use. So that would be the other situation. So those are the two situations we have, general situations. We continue with the current restriction, which means there would be no restrictions on sales because we can't do any restrictions on sales. Current restrictions on use, I'm sorry. I'm not getting a lot of vibes here, okay? Can I have some vibes? Councilmember Finter.
No, I agree. This compromise that's being hashed out is not exactly how I would do things, but it's a compromise meeting in the middle. What I was hoping is in the MOU or whatever, immediately after we come back off a summer break, have a comprehensive presentation by fire with statistics to see how this went, kind of a baby step approach to say, okay, we've had our first 4th of July with the fireworks ordinance or MOU, and here's what happened, here's the concerns, and leave us enough flexibility for, and then do the same thing after New Year's. Yeah. And if there are challenges, and if it's truly going to be the conflagration that's mentioned, then we need to have the option to be able to rethink it. But I'd be supportive of the compromise, and I appreciate the staff working with the industry. So
Mayor, I appreciate that, but I think we also need to deal with the political realities of this. Now that cities have dealt with this, there is, and I've talked to legislators and we've talked to the industry, they recognize that there's a huge contradiction here. The state took all restrictions off of from cities, our ability to restrict sales. But they say go ahead and restrict use. Well, it's once again that absurdity where you can walk into any store under state law and buy these things, and the second you walk out, you can't use them. I honestly believe that if not this session, the next session, the state legislature is gonna preempt our ability to do one or the other. They're either gonna backtrack or they're going to set their own use things, which really is gonna take it out of our hands anyway. Can't guarantee that's gonna happen, but I don't see how you avoid that kind of a situation, because it's just absurd that we're sitting here. And totally powerless on one hand, what do we do on the other hand? And it's not a good situation either way. So, Councilman Richens.
If you go the MOU route, I just want to make sure there might be some language about where they sell it, like a dust-proof surfaces, weed-free. So if it's a vacant lot, we end up allowing them to set into that the vacant lot needs to be weed-free or dust-proof or something to that effect. I'm not really in favor of going the MOU route. I'm curious as to what happens. Who from the industry do we enter this agreement with? Are we entering into it with individual companies? Are we entering into it with representatives from the industry? And what binding effect does that have on a company who may not be a member of the trade organization?
Good question. I'll let
Sarah, you want to
answer that question?
And go ahead for the record, Sarah, and reintroduce yourself to us.
For the record, Sarah Sparman with Williams & Associates, 2929 North Central Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Just for the record, it would be this particular agreement would be through the three largest vendors. We represent about 100% of indoor retail sales and 80% of temporary tent sales. So that would be TNT Fireworks, our client. We've got an agreement with Phantom Fireworks, which is the second largest. They do mainly temporary tent sales, and then also Winco, fireworks. We are working Casa Grande, and I know there's others that, like I said, we only make up 80% of the temporary sales. We'd be willing to, you're going to get contacted by the different vendors. You can put them in touch with us. We'll reach out to them, kind of explain the situation, and use our powers of persuasion to see if they might be willing to join in on the MOU.
So how do I put powers of persuasion in an MOU? What if your powers of persuasion aren't quite persuasive enough?
You would still have that approximate 20% that wouldn't be signed on. So yes.
Well, and then once again, we can't restrict them. I think what we have to realize, going back to the summary, is even with the MOU, that's an agreement. That's a voluntary agreement that the industry's come up with. There could be someone else come in and sell, and we can't restrict them. They can sell if they don't want to tie in with the voluntary agreement. So the MOU is really a restriction that the industry has agreed to, but we can't restrict somebody who doesn't want to be part of that MOU. They could sell at will. That's state law.
I'm just wondering why bother.
The use restriction would still be in place, though.
Yeah.
So, as the mayor said, they could still purchase it anytime, or they could sell anytime during the year, but the use restrictions would still be in place.
So we need to just be focusing on the use restrictions in the MOU?
Well, the MOU doesn't cover the use restrictions. It has nothing to do with it. That's the ordinance. We can restrict use. We can't restrict sales.
Right.
So the MOU
so
is...
there's no aspect of the MOU doesn't have anything to do with the sale.
No. It's everything to do with the sale.
Well, it has everything to do with the sale, but nothing to do with the use.
Is that correct, Debbie?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ordinance has everything to do with the use and nothing to do with the sale. That's why it's so much fun. Dennis.
With regard to an MOU, what would be the penalties for violations of the MOU? I don't think you have any regulatory authority to enforce an MOU the way you would an ordinance or the city rule.
That is a challenge
problem,
we are looking for. Now, as...
it's kind of illusory, isn't it?
Well, as Sarah said, they are voluntarily entering into this MOU. The option would be if they do not comply, the council could at any time come back and change the ordinance to ban all use.
Okay.
That's why it's a compromise.
So, Councilman Ripchens, is while they are in separate legal documents, there is a nexus. I think that's what you're trying to get at. Is I think the industry, the conversation was, we will allow for use, and they would voluntarily agree to restrict sales during the times where we got to.
But again, Mayor, there's no penalties, as I see, for violation.
You're right.
Where does it rise to the level of changing an ordinance?
But there's no penalties today on sale.
So
the only stick we have is to come back. If they are not complying, then we come back. The council can come back with the idea. It can then eliminate use throughout the whole city.
Basically, it's totally relying on goodwill of the industry.
Well, once again, that's all we can rely on, because we can't restrict sales. I think that's maybe we can't restrict sales. So
is that where we're getting about finding people that have a call out, or what was the Dina was talking about?
On charging
people who we respond to.
Yeah, I think we need to define that even more. I mean, what necessitates? You know, you have to drive into a marked wash in order to get that penalty. I don't know that we've actually spent any time talking about what triggers that stupid motorist-like provision under fireworks. Maybe we need to talk a little bit more about that. I'm not sure what that means.
One good idea I've heard about that particular thing is maybe do it on the false alarm model.
People
who have the alarms, if they have, you know, you get the first one's free, you do it again, you're getting charged. Yeah, not anymore. I mean, we even charge for the first false alarm now.
No, and those are.
But is that a model that possibly could be followed? I mean, that's kind of the same principle.
And that's something when we bring back an ordinance, we could include something like that.
I'm not sure that that's the maker, and I didn't want to throw that as a make or break thing. To me, that's not a deal. It just seems like a rational thing to do if someone is going to use it. To me, this is the compromise. No, I don't like it either. I'd just soon not be dealing with this issue. We've spent a lot of time dealing with an issue that got laid on our doorstep, and I don't think anyone really wants to deal with it. But it's here. And the fact is that it's a gigantic catch-22. We cannot restrict in any way what way, shape, or form, the sale of fireworks. We can choose what we want to do under restriction. I mean, the easiest way out, I guess, would just be to say no to everything. Let's continue on. That's what a lot of cities have done, and I can't blame them for doing that. I applaud staff and others for at least trying to find something that meshes the law with our situation and the catch-22 we've had, and also I think deals with the realities that we're going to be dealing with, is where the legislature is going to pull it out from under us anyway. And that's certainly an option, that we just say, hey, you had a legislature, let's just continue to restrict them or disallow them and let you deal with that. I think that's what other cities have done. That's the other option. But I think we have members of the council here who have been very explicit that they believe that, you know, this is something that government should not be restricting. If it's safe and it's consumer, let them use it in their home.
In their home?
In their
okay.
home.
Okay. In their Absolutely. Home.
Restricted uses in.
You got me on that one. Restricted use to use it in their home.
On their personal
property.
Okay,
or
at
the municipal center, whichever.
One more
Councilman
thing.
Councilman Higgins. Yeah.
I guess I'd like to see a feeling of what I had mentioned of adding a couple more of the major celebrations in our community. I find it really hard that we will eliminate Cinco de Mayo from this ordinance.
I can't support that. Simply because I think you have two holidays that have historically, they are universal. I think if we start, where do you draw the line? If you start doing Cinco de Mayo and Chinese New Year, then you have to have Tet. Do you have to have...
It's based on your community and the percentage of people in your community.
And everybody in our community celebrates New Year's Eve and 4th of July. Or as they should. I think it's the most universal, and I think, once again, I don't mind sticking our toe into this. I would not support. I think you create more problems. I think we're creating enough issues and challenges, but I'd have a problem with that. I understand where you're coming from.
No, my concern is just that, you know, they'll be available for sale, and people that would typically not break the law would be breaking the law so their kids could run around the backyard with sparklers on Cinco de Mayo.
So, Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, under this agreement, they would not be available for sale during those periods of time.
Right.
You would buy them in storm. It's very close, May to June.
Where?
You would just store them. You know Cinco de Mayo is coming up in a few
months. They could do that.
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
I want my kids to have sprinklers. I will buy them ahead of time, just like I buy sparklers. Not sprinklers, though. Gosh, sparklers. Thank you.
I think this is a good compromise the way it is right now. I support a compromise because I think it's a good move. I think it satisfies both. Is it perfect? No, it's far from it. I agree with that. Compromises never usually make nobody happy, and that's why they're good, because it's what you do to make the situation work, and that's why I would support the compromise that's been laid out. Vice Mayor, I haven't heard from you. Trying to figure out where we go from here, because I'm doing some counting, and I think it might be up to you.
I love that position. I used to get it a lot when I was early on the council. Number one, again, they put us in a very awkward situation, and I love it when legislators do that. But we have a situation where right now they are prohibited, but yet folks bring them from other places, other states, other countries, and they have them, they use them. We don't go out in force and try and enforce this thing because it's not practical. We don't have the manpower to do it. So right now, those individuals are violating the law when they use the sparklers and even firecrackers, which would still not be legal. But they're going to use them. They continue to use them. But we need to go after those who are irresponsible. Although trying to add an addendum in there where you say you go after and charge for irresponsible use, whether we have that in the verbiage or not, if somebody is very negligent, the insurance company and others are going to go after them, period. So I don't think that needs to be any kind of verbiage in there. Industry representatives have stepped forward and said they would be willing to compromise when they sell. That's at least a step in the right direction. And I agree with you, Mayor. I think that future legislation is going to change the whole playing field on this anyway. It's going to need to, because they created such a terrible mess to begin with. So would be willing to go forward with a limited compromise, because I just don't see how total ban, which is the easy way out right now, is really going to solve the situation. I think it's going to evolve over the next couple of years and change very much from what it is right now.
Okay. Councilman Fenter, you still same as you were the other day? Okay. I think you've got your direction of the majority of the council. And just look at that, once again, I separate out the thing, and I think what we're hearing from even the vice mayor is you're probably on the stupid sparkler type of deal. Don't make that a big part. I just like some ideas. You can like put a $500 max or whatever, so it'd be easy, but just keep that separate. Because like I said, I don't think that should, that's not a make or break for me, but I just like to see some ideas.
Okay. Thank you. We'll come back with the draft ordinance.
Come back with some details. Okay. Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation discuss the site for a new police substation.
Mayor and Council, I'm Tricia Sorensen. I believe I have some good news for you. It has been a long road, but I believe we have a site selected for the new replacement station for Dobson. Background, in 2008, the Public Safety Bond Program included $15 million for site acquisition, design, and construction of a new station to replace the Dobson Station. The requirements that we set forth for the site were we were looking between 5 and 7 acres. They wanted two access roads were very preferable for PD for access in and out. Wanted something that was visible to the community that would contribute to revitalization of the community. And they wanted something more centrally located within the Dobson District. We are in the process right now of purchasing a site located on the northwest corner of Grove and Westwood. The parcel size is approximately 4.88 acres. It's a little below the 5 acres that we were talking about, but it's very doable from engineering's perspective and from PD's perspective. The purchase price is $2.4 million, or approximately $11.50 a square foot. What we're looking at is closing on the property by the end of the year. Right now we're in the 60-day feasibility study for the site. Real estate is going to be doing an appraisal of the property, and we're going to be doing a new Alta. The site we're looking at, as you can see in this, let me see if I can get the mouse here. This is the existing site right here. That's Dobson Station. What we're looking at now is the proposed site right up here, just east of Fiesta Mall, so it's more centrally located within the district. If you move down a little bit, what you're going to see is it's going to be just east of Alma School, just south of Southern. So it's going to have good access going north, south, east, and west for the PD. And then this is a closer close-up of the site. It's very quick, but it's a very it's a site we looked at initially when we went to you a year and a half ago. It's become available. We're taking advantage of that, and we think we're getting a good price for the citizens.
So, Mayor and Council, we are under contract, and we are moving forward with our due diligence, and we would expect to close on this property by the end of the year.
Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I want to express my appreciation to Trish and all the city staff for all the work that they've done on this. This is the Aquaterra site, in case people don't recognize it. And I particularly want to add a compliment to Councilmember Fincher, because we were looking at this issue a little over a year ago in terms of a site, and Alex really had some very thoughtful comments about the reality of commercial real estate and forced us to take a good hard look at the process of how we do things like this. And I think it's through his efforts we've come out with a much more desirable project for the city that will save, I think, public safety funds for us to use for the public safety purposes. And I think this is a great location. And I really want to commend Councilmember Fenter, Chris Brady, and his staff, and Trish for all the work, and all the folks at PD to make this happen. Thank you.
Let me see, just a couple things. I just want to make sure there is no dairy on this, and we are getting an appraisal, right?
Yes.
No comment.
Okay. That was not nice. I'd like to thank the staff also, because I know we've gone through a great process and looking at a lot of different things in the area. So I look forward to when the due diligence does come back, and excited to see what we can do to really serve this area, which right now is needs an upgrade. So, okay. Any other questions? Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is to acknowledge receipt of various boards and committees. Have a motion from the Vice Mayor, second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next thing, hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Today I attended a meeting of the Arizona Host Committee for the National League of Cities. Arizona will be the host for the 2011 annual conference of the National League of Cities, which is one of the largest conventions that will be coming to Phoenix. And we have communities from around Arizona who are on the host committee, along with the business community. And we're looking forward to developing a very successful conference. I think the next meeting of the host committee will be here in Mesa. I think there are a lot of opportunities for us as a community to perhaps help either have mobile workshops or programs for guests and spouses during the conference next year to showcase some of the special and unique things that we have in Mesa. Thank you.
Let's just make sure we have sparklers as part of our presentation.
Absolutely. Okay.
Next, I would like to report. I had the great privilege of attending two events during this weekend, which both involved our commemorative Air Force, Arizona Air Wing, which is headquartered at Falcon Field here in Mesa. What an incredible group. Councilmember Higgins and I were both of those, and on Saturday they had a gathering of legends, and pretty impressive when you have, you know what, 30, 40 all aviator veterans, many of them highly decorated. We had one Medal of Honor winner from the Vietnam War and four aces from World War II. I mean, just a spectacular event, including a lot of really, really cool airplanes. And then on Sunday, we had the great honor, and both the Vice Mayor and Councilmember Kavanaugh joined us.
Joined
the two of us at the Mesa Cemetery for the annual recognition of the 23 grave sites we have there of RAF pilots who lost their lives during World War II training at Falcon Field. We had the General Consul, Dame Barbara Hay, in, and others representing the British government. Very, very moving and very special place. If you've never been there, it's quite impressive. It's a beautiful little grove that has a monument, and there's a lot of history that goes on there. So I have that privilege, and thanks all those who were there. And Councilmember Richens? And four British pilots came over. Yeah, some of them traveled clear from England to come over. This is a major part of Mesa history, and it was interesting talking to the consul. She was wondering, you know, this. She was impressed that we keep doing this. And I said, you know, this is a big part of our history, because Falcon Field basically exists today because of the training of the British pilots from 1941 through 45. And it sort of set the stage to not only that, but also the Willie, which was then founded about the same time. And there's no doubt that both Falcon and Williams Air Force Base played a huge role in Mesa's history. So it's a very, very, it was a very moving tribute. And it was really cool at the cemetery to have multiple flyovers from B-17s and B-25s and all sorts of fun stuff. Anything else? Councilmember Richens. Oh, yeah, you two went to Town Hall. Councilmember Richens.
Councilmember Higgins and I attended the Arizona Town Hall at the Grand Canyon earlier this week, which was discussing governance in Arizona for the next 100 years.
Did you say disgusting or discussing? It sounded like
no. The last 100 years was disgusting, but the future 100 years that
okay.
we were discussing.
Yes, disgusting.
Sorry, I mumble. Also, the mayor and I attended the ribbon cutting for a warehouse for an organization called Arizona Brain Food. And what they do is they gather food together that they send to kids that they send kids on free or reduced lunch that don't have enough food to make it through the weekend. Typically, they'll come to school hungry on Monday, and so a bunch of volunteers get together and they've reusing one of Mesa Public Schools facilities that they've moved out of. Bash is participating, and the Farnsworth companies have been participating in this all-volunteer group that put together 645 packets to go home with different students in Mesa Public Schools. It was really neat. They put these things together in about an hour. If you didn't get out of the way, they ran right over you. It was really, really cool to see. So that was really a really neat project that they put together and deserves support in our community. The other thing I wanted to call out, about 6:30 in the morning on Saturday, I met with the sign sweep team that goes out on a random Saturdays, and just wanted to get out there with them and their enthusiasm and their desire to see our streets clear of the illegal signs they could put around. It had particular interest because you have a little bit of leftover campaign signs out there. And you know, as a politician, I get sensitive to that sometimes. You know, want people to get their signs back. But it's neat to see the enthusiasm of these volunteers who go out. And they're having a noticeable impact on the number of illegal signs. They're seeing a dramatic decrease in the number of signs people are putting out because they're just losing them too consistently. So they're learning, don't put them in Mesa. And it's because of Grady and an all-volunteer team that, I mean, they've come up with some very creative tools of the trade to cut them off of light poles and get them out of the ground. And it's just impressive to see. And that's what I think makes Mesa great is our volunteers who care about the city so much that they'll get up early on a Saturday, on a cold Saturday morning, and go out and make Mesa a better place. So kudos to that group.
Councilman Higgins.
Just one more tag back to the Arizona Town Hall. The report that was generated in 3 days, well, we'll have links on our website so you can go and see what the recommendations were from the Town Hall, and they're very good with discussing Arizona government for the next 100 years. So in a few days, go there. We'll have a little link to AZ Town Hall, and you can read the nice, easy 24-page document. Pretty doable. Great. Thanks.
Thank you. And, of course, last Thursday, we had the great privilege of participating and viewing the Mesa Veterans Day Parade, which was, it's a great event. And I think we had a record crowd, beautiful weather, a very, very impressive display. And the coolest thing about this is this parade 3 or 4 years ago was literally on life support and was on the verge of dying. And a very, very dedicated group of people hung in there, kept pushing, and it's another incredible community event that is now successful. There are thousands of people out there, and everybody having a good time. And what a great way to honor our veterans! So thanks to the Mesa Veterans Parade Association for all the great work they do. 118 entries, and the whole route of the parade, they were 8 to 10 deep on both sides of the street. So it was great. Mr. Brady, real quickly, upcoming meetings. Calendars.
There we go. We do have a study session coming up this Thursday. There will also be included with that the Local Redevelopment Authority meeting, which is part of the Air Force Research Lab conveyance. That will be part of that. And also we want to mention for Councilmember Kavanaugh that there's a pancake breakfast this Saturday, November 20th. It is included as a pancake breakfast and toy drive. From 8 to 10 at Fire Station 207, which is at 2505 South Dobson. We encourage everybody to come out, bring a new unwrapped toys for children that are at the Cardin's Children Medical Center. So that's a great cause, and thank Councilmember Kavanaugh for leading that. So thank you very much.
Great. Okay, have a motion to adjourn from the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. See you upstairs. Thank you.